Mark your books with the invitation song, number 194. 194. Now let's turn to page 666. 666. Sometimes I hear feeling they have with fear, freedom we all hold dear, and now with that stay. For your heart to God, safe from the tempting rise, seek the way pilgrim trod, Christians away. Oh, Jesus is coming soon, morning and night.
Certainly appreciate those who orchestrated and directed our singing program this evening, Brother Clifford Prowl and Brother Eric Prowl, and a number of song leaders have participated in leading songs this afternoon. We welcome you back to this afternoon session in our special series of gospel meetings. How many of you enjoyed the meal? All right, I enjoyed it. I was restrained in my consumption, but what I did eat was very good. We want to express appreciation to all of those who cooked and who brought dishes and who provided food for our fellowship dinner. Thank you very much. And I'm standing before you to present and to introduce our guest speaker in this series of meetings. As I mentioned this morning, he is not a stranger to any of us. I'm going to introduce him using just a few words. Edward J. Robinson, Dr. Edward J. Robinson, is a faithful Christian. He's a talented gospel preacher. He is a good husband, according to Tony. He is a competent father. He is a capable author. He is an accurate historian. He is a learned professor. He is a talented teacher. And all around, just a good, faithful Christian man. And we are honored to have him serve this week as our guest evangelist. It gives me great pleasure to introduce and to present our special guest evangelist, Dr. Edward J. Robinson. Shortly, he will bring to us another meaningful message from the Word of God. I don't know what his title is for his lesson this evening, but I do recall what it was this morning. Just call me Lazarus. It was an excellent lesson. It was a challenging lesson. It was a motivating lesson. And I'm sure the one he presents shortly will be the same. We're going to have another song or a few verses of a song, and then the next voice that you hear will be that of Dr. Edward J. Robinson. Brother Clifford, page 8.
Page number 8, fourth and last stanza.
Christ went a building to prepare thy name with the hand, and twill be decked with jewels around thy name.
God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. In spite of the pain, in spite of the rain, and in spite of the strain we encounter in our lives from time to time, God is still good. And what I love about the Lord is not a wishy-washy God. The Lord is not good some of the time. The Lord is not good most of the time. But the Lord is good how often? All the time, and all the time, God is good. The fact that you and I are here this afternoon is indicative of the fact that God is a mighty good God. Amen. Amen. We want to once again thank the good brothers who've led us in our devotional service this afternoon. All of them have done an outstanding job, and we commend them and encourage them to keep up the good work for the Lord. I am once again appreciative to the leadership of this outstanding congregation, the shepherds here, the elders, Brother Prowell and Brother Daniels, and of course your wonderful, outstanding minister, Brother Amenzo Jones, for inviting me to come and share with you this week. And it's always a great honor and a great privilege to be in the city of Nashville, Tennessee. Amen. My wife and I are delightful to be here, thankful to be here, and we're also grateful to have members of her family, our family here, my mother-in-law, sister-in-law and brother-in-law who are here, members of the Schrader Lane congregation. Amen. Amen. Good to have all of them here. And I also want to just mention, brothers and sisters, that we really appreciate those who are from our sister congregations who are present this afternoon. And I'm certain that Brother Jones, one of the elders, will be recognizing all of you. I do want to just highlight, if y'all don't mind, members of, I see a number of members from the Church of Christ at Jackson Street. And I'm going to ask them to stand, if y'all don't mind. Amen. All the members of Jackson Street. I see, man, isn't that beautiful? Amen. Wonderful, wonderful. Amen. Amen. Good to see all of you present on this afternoon. Amen. Amen. So, it's always good to be with brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Amen. And, we want to, before I move into the lesson this afternoon, we want to commend all of the good sisters for a job well done. That fellowship meal was really outstanding. Amen. I saw a lot of the, in fact, I know the brothers will do this later, but if you had any small part to do in preparing the food or serving the food, will you stand? We just want to recognize you this afternoon, if you don't mind. Let's ask all of you, don't be bashful. You worked hard back there. Amen. Let's give them all a hand. Amen. Amen. If you enjoyed the food, can you say amen?
Amen.
If you're nice and full, can you say amen?
Amen.
If you're sleeping, ready to take a nap, say amen.
Amen.
All right, all right. Okay. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, wake up. Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles this afternoon, go ahead and open them up to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. Hold your finger for me at verse number 19. And brothers and sisters, I do want to, you just help me out on a song. I know you know it. Just kind of follow along with me on this afternoon. Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment well because of you. Well, and I want to thank you and praise you too. Well, and your grace and mercy brought me through. Well, and your grace and mercy, yes, brought me through. Yes, I'm living this moment, Lord, because of you. Well, and I want to thank you and praise you too, Lord, and your grace and mercy, and your grace and mercy, and your grace and mercy brought me through. Amen. How many of you know that to be true this afternoon? Your grace and mercy brought me through, and I'm living this moment because of you. Amen. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning with verse number 19. Let's go right into the lesson for this afternoon. And if you have it, please let me know by saying amen.
Amen.
And the word of God reads as follows. Reading from the New American Standard Bible, it reads slightly differently. However, the message is the same. Hopefully the King James will be flashed up on the screen. Then the men of the city said to Elisha, "Behold now, the situation of the city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad." The King James has the water is naught. Is that right? And that means the water is bad. and the land is unfruitful. The King James has barren. Is that right? Okay, it simply means the land is unfruitful. Verse 20, he said, bring me a new jar and put salt in it. So they brought it to him. He went out to the spring of water and threw what? Salt in it and said, thus says the Lord, I have purified these waters. I have purified these waters. There shall not be from there dearth or unfruitfulness any longer. So the waters have been what? Purified. Does the King James has healed? Healed. I like that word, healed. The waters have been healed or purified to this day, according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. He must increase, but I must decrease. I would like to use as a subject this afternoon, the cure for dirty water. The cure for dirty water. Can you turn to your neighbor and tell him or her that? The cure for dirty water. In 2014, the state of Michigan decided to save money by switching Flint's water supply from Lake Huron to the Flint River, a notorious tributary that runs through town known to locals for its filth. The Flint River is highly corrosive. One resident said, you're paying for poison. I'm paying for water that's toxic. Toxic waste. There's nothing funny, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, about dirty water. As levels, high elevated levels of lead can cause brain damage and other health-related problems. In our text today, we see a similar situation had transpired. Residents in the city of Jericho were alarmed and disturbed because the city's water supply was polluted. The text says in verse number 19, then the men of the city said to Elisha, behold, the situation of the city is pleasant as my Lord sees, but the water is bad. In other words, the water is corrupt. The water is naught. The water is dirty. You see, tainted water affected their lives in that the absence of fresh water meant the absence of fresh food, fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, potatoes, tomatoes, pinto beans, collard greens, turnip greens, black-eyed peas, watermelon, cantaloupe, plums, berries, cherries, possum pot pie. Can you say amen this afternoon? You see, in other words, fresh, clean water is essential to living and having a healthy life in a healthy community. And so God's prophet asked for a new jar. And the Bible says that he put some salt in it. And then the Bible says he threw it in the water. And consequently, the waters were healed. Praise God for fresh, clean water to drink in. Don't ever take your water for granted. Am I right about it? You know, it's a blessing to have fresh, clean water to bathe in, to shower in, to cook in. Brothers and sisters, we have so much to be thankful for. The cure for dirty water. 2 points for your consideration this afternoon, and then the lesson will be yours. First of all, I want us to look at the cause of dirty water. And then second of all, we're going to look at the cure for dirty water. Let's look, first of all, at the cause of dirty water. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, just as the authorities in Flint, Michigan, made a drastic mistake in changing the waters, the city's water supply. I maintain that in a moral and metaphorical sense, the powers that be in our world and in our nation have exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Our political and religious leaders have elevated the creature above the creator. Romans chapter 1 and verse 25. Many in our country have switched from the wisdom of God to the wisdom of man. In other words, many in our world have elevated the wisdom of man above the wisdom of God. Scripture informs us that there are two kinds of wisdom. Am I right about it? First of all, there is divine wisdom, but there's also demonic wisdom. James chapter 3, beginning with verse number 18, if we can go there expeditiously and flash it up on the screen. I want you to see this, because a lot of folk go around here talking about I'm wise and I have a lot of wisdom. Well, my question is, what kind of wisdom is it? In James chapter 3, beginning with verse number 13, let's hear what the word of God has to say. James 3 and verse number 13, if you're there, church, let me know by saying amen. All right, what does the book say? Come on. Who is a wise man? Read on.
Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom.
That's right.
But if you have bitter envying,
that's right,
and strife
in your heart,
glory not.
Don't brag about that. Don't boast about it. Come on.
And lie not against the truth.
Come on.
This wisdom descendeth not from above.
It didn't come from God. It came from below. Come on.
But it's earthly. Sensual. Devilish.
In other words, this wisdom came straight from the devil. Then he says in verse number 16, come on.
Where envying and strife is,
there is confusion, and every evil work. Do y'all see it, church? So
yes.
First of all, there is demonic wisdom, which incites jealousy, selfishness, and disorder. Whenever you see these things operating in a family, yes, you might have some folk there with wisdom, but it's showing God's wisdom. Am I right about it?
Yes.
Whenever you see a congregation where there's jealousy, strife, selfishness, and disorder, yes, you might have a lot of wise folk there, but I'm here to tell you, they don't have the wisdom of Almighty God. Am I right about it? Look at the next verse. Come on, my brother. Read on. Verse.
But the wisdom that is from above.
This is the wisdom we want right here. You don't get this from the university. You can't get this from Vanderbilt University. You can't get this from Lipscomb University. Right about it?
Yes,
this wisdom is from above. Come on, my brother.
Is first pure.
It's pure.
Then peaceable. Gentle. And easy to be entreated.
Read on.
Full of mercy and good fruits. Without partiality and without hypocrisy.
Read on. Verse 18.
And the fruit of righteousness. Is sown in peace
who make peace. Do y'all see it, church? So, on the one hand, we have a wisdom that incites jealousy, selfishness, and disorder. But then on the other hand, there is a wisdom, divine wisdom, that promotes purity, peace, and gentleness. And I'm here to tell you that many in our culture today have exchanged the precepts of God for the precepts of man. In other words, they've turned from the way of God to the ways of man. And the Bible said there's a way that what seems right to a man, but the end thereof is what is the way of death. I'm trying to show you today the cure for dirty water. The cause of this dirty water is that, brothers and sisters, we have switched from the wisdom of God to the wisdom of man. Now, when I talk about dirty water, I'm talking about sin. About sin. You see, sin corrupts the mind. Sin defiles the body. And sin destroys the soul. No wonder Solomon could say in Proverbs 14 and verse number 34, you can help me quote it. The Bible said, righteousness what exalts a nation. But sin is what is a reproach to any people. As a result, brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you today that our world is full of dirty water. Can you say amen? This afternoon. Now, I need y'all to help me preach this sermon. When I hold up my little Glass here, if you will. I want you to say dirty water. Let's try it. Come on now, say it like you mean it. All right, now I know this side for some reason is stronger than this side. Now, I don't know, these must be Tennessee Titans friends over here. So let's try it again. Come on now, come on. All right, say it like you mean it. All right, now y'all over here, y'all show them how it's done. Come on now. All right, okay, now I know what the deal is. These folk are awake. Folk over here are going to sleep on me. All right, but y'all, I need y'all to help me. I need y'all to help me, church. Whenever you see acts of terrorism taking place throughout our land and country, whether it's in Europe, North America, or South America, that's what you call the abduction and abuse of innocent children. Stand today as an example of what? There's a man, Jared Fogle, a former spokesman for Subway, was sentenced to 15 years, 8 months in prison for child pornography. What's a grown man doing fooling around with innocent children? Do you hear me? That's what you call. When politicians are going around here lying and scheming, help me somebody, whether it's in the State House or the White House, that's what you call. Men marrying men, that's what you call. Bruce Jenner becoming Caitlyn Jenner, that's what you call. Women marrying women, that's what you call. You see, Jesus put it this way, have you not read that he who created them made them from the beginning what? Male and female. Jesus did not tolerate any kind of men and women and women, because when you mix this thing up, that's what you call. Oh, I'm here to tell you that racism is what you call. I know some so-called Christian folk, they'll travel way to Singapore, El Salvador, and all the way to Ecuador, but won't reach out to the black man and brown man next door. That's what you call. Y'all don't hear me this afternoon. You see the shooting and killing of unarmed black men. Help me somebody. That's what you call. School teachers running off with teenage students. That's what you call. Help me somebody. Amen. Sex outside of marriage. Help me somebody. That's what you call. Help me somebody. Some of y'all struggling with that now. The Bible is still right. Am I right about it? Amen. I better say it again. Sex outside of marriage is what? Amen. God said it this way in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 4. Marriage, amen, is what? Honorable. In the bed, what? Undefiled. But what? Whoremongers and adulterers, what? God will judge. I still believe that God's way is the best way. God intended for one man to hook up with one woman. Am I right about it? For one woman to hook up with one man. Because if you do it any other way, help me somebody, that's what you call. And I'm here to tell you, it's not always the young folk who are caught up in this dirty water. You got some old folk, help me somebody, who are caught up in this dirty water. I don't know about here in the state of Tennessee, but I got some old folk back yonder there in Texas, folk who are shucking and jiving, slipping and sliding, doping and doping, smoking and choking, lying and spying, skinning and grinning, faking and shaking, twerking and jerking. Help me somebody. I don't care how young you are or how old you are, it's still. Oh, y'all don't hear me this afternoon. I'm here to tell you that unscriptural divorce and remarriage. I know we got a lot of this stuff going on in the church, and sometimes it's happening in the pulpit. You got some church leaders who are in some unquestionable situations. But I'm here to tell you, I don't care if it's from the preacher, the elders, or deacons. I'm here to tell you, God's word applies to all of us the same. Am I right about it? And if you're not going to live right, you might as well not get in the pulpit. Somebody ought to say amen, because there's nothing like having a clown. Help me, somebody. It's nothing like having a playboy in the pulpit, because when you have that stuff in the pulpit, that's what you call. Oh, y'all don't hear me this morning. I know y'all may not like this preaching, but I'm going on just the same. Young black men who engage in the underground economy. You know what I mean? I'm talking about selling drugs, pumping poison into black homes and black families. That's what you call. Am I right about it? And I'm here to tell you, we even have dirty water in religion. When we have these predatory false teachers, what in the name of heaven does a man need with a $54 million plane? Why can't you fly coach? Why can't you fly first class on Southwest? That ought to tell you right there, that man don't care about your soul. He only cares about your pocketbook. That's what the Bible calls. Oh, y'all don't hear me this afternoon. When a man talks about the Pope is the head of the church, that's what you call. When folk talk about sprinkling for baptism, that's what you call. When folk talk about the Book of Mormon being on the same level as the Bible, that's what you call. When folk talk about Joseph Smith being God's last prophet in these last days, that's what you call. Dirty water. We might as well call it like it is. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 15, Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you how? In sheep's clothing, for inwardly they are what? Ravenous wolves. And he said, you shall know them by their fruits. Am I right about it? Amen. Let me just say this while I'm going this way, because I've learned, Brother Jones, that while we have a lot of dirty water out there in the world, what I'm concerned about, Brother Bonner, is that we got some of this stuff sipping into the church. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, man, it breaks my heart when I hear of churches going to court, splitting over non-essential matters. Help me, somebody. There are some folks saying that a woman can't wear a pantsuit to the Lord's house. Nothing wrong with pantsuit. Just make sure they're not so tight they won't kill you. Help me, somebody. Is that... Y'all don't hear me this afternoon. We have churches that are splitting up over power struggles. I don't understand why sometimes priests and elders can't get along. Don't you know, man, when a church splits, that's what you call dirty water, because God is so not pleased. Am I right about it? You see, there's dirty water in the White House, dirty water in the courthouse, dirty water at the jailhouse. Dirty water in the schoolhouse. Dirty water at what? Dirty water. Am I right about it? But we got to make sure we keep that dirty water out of the Lord's house. Is that all right this afternoon? Yes. Yes, the Church of Christ is in this world of dirty water, but we got to make sure we do all we can to keep that dirty water from infiltrating and inundating the Church of Christ. Amen. Which leads me to my second and final point for this afternoon. Let's look at the cure. Let's look at the cure for dirty water. Let's go back to the text, 2 Kings 2, in verse 19. And Brother Jones, if you could pick up the reading there, one of the good brothers there to read for me, I appreciate it. 2 Kings 2, in verse number 19. Check this out, brothers and sisters. What a powerful, powerful word from the Lord right here. The cure for dirty water. Look at it with me. If you're there, church, let me know by saying amen. All right, Brother Jones, what does the book say?
Then the men of the city.
Then hold it right there. Now that's an powerful point. He said, then who?
The men of the city.
Whenever there's a problem in the city, you know who whose responsibility it is to solve that? The men. The men have got to step up. The men. He didn't say the women. He didn't say the children. That's one of our issues today. We are now outsourcing, if you will, or we are delegating responsibility to other folk that really belong to us. The men of the city, the men in the home, the men in the church, they are the ones who got to step up and step out for the Lord. Is that all right this afternoon? The Bible said the men of the city. What'd they do?
Said to Elisha.
Now they knew to come to the right person. Elisha was God's man. Yep. Elisha, you remember, succeeded Elijah. Because early in chapter 2, Elijah was what? Taken up to heaven. But before he was taken up, Elisha asked him what? He said, Lord, you know, can you give me a double portion of the spirit that Elijah has? And you know what? We know that his request was fulfilled because he will go on to perform 14 miracles.
Yes,
while Elijah performed 7 miracles. In fact, in this chapter alone, there are some 3 miracles that Elisha performed. Because you remember when the mantle of Elijah fell into the water, what happened to the water? It split. And now he's going to heal the waters.
Yes,
so that's why it's important when the men, you know, come together and they can't figure out the problem, you got to make sure you have a prophet. You got to have a God's man who has God's spirit and God's wisdom, who knows the solution to the problem. Is that all right this afternoon?
Yes,
now look at this. It says here, all right, then the men of the city said to Elijah, what did they tell him? Come on.
Behold now. The situation of this city is pleasant.
In other words, if I can just paraphrase it here. In other words, we have promising prospects here. We have promising business clients wanting to come to Jericho. That's the city that's here. We have jobs that are coming in. We have pretty good schools, and our roads and our streets look nice. We are in the process of engaging in residential and commercial development. So the city is pleasant, as my Lord sees. But come on, the water is bad. The water is bad. And what? Come on.
And the land is unfruitful.
And because the water was bad, the land was barren. It was unfruitful. Do y'all see that?
Yes, sir.
Come on, verse 20. What does the book say?
He said, bring me a new jar.
Bring me a what?
A new jar.
Now, let me just say this, brothers and sisters. There's nothing wrong with trying some new stuff from time to time. As long as it does not what? Violate the word of God. Don't change the message. Keep the message the same. But if we're going to reach the world, sometimes we have to change our methods. Is that all right? Don't you know that God can sometimes work through new means, new mechanisms? Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you. Am I right? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Am I right about it? God said, I'm going to make a new covenant. Now, don't be afraid of new stuff. Is that all right? Said, bring a new jar. Come on, my brother.
Bring a new jar.
Uh-huh.
And put salt in it.
And then put some what?
Salt in it.
Put some sugar in it.
Salt in it.
Put some pepper in it.
Salt in it.
Put some salt in it. And what'd they do?
So they brought it to him.
Hold it right there. They had an argument.
We ain't listening to you. To him.
You ain't educated enough.
So they brought it to him.
Wait a minute. You're not, you can't tell us what to do.
So
you know, sometimes you know why? Help me. Sometimes you know why we can't move forward? Sometimes we are so arrogant, so prideful, we're not willing to take advice.
Tragic, sir.
Help me, somebody. Y'all getting quiet on me. All right. Turn to your neighbor and say, wake up, neighbor. Come on now. All right. And the Bible said they what? They brought it to him. Come on.
So they brought it to him.
Read on.
He went out to the spring of water.
Uh-huh.
And threw salt in it and said.
Now we're going to the spring of water. You see, if you're going to tackle a problem, you got to start where?
Source.
At the source. At the root. He went to the spring of water. And what did he do?
And threw salt in it and said.
And threw salt in it and said, come on.
Thus says the Lord. I have purified these waters.
And I like how the King James says it here. I have healed these waters. Come on.
There shall not be from there death or unfruitfulness any longer.
There shall not be any more death or unfruitfulness any longer. How many know that God is able
Amen.
To do anything but fail? Here's the point, brothers and sisters, I want you to see. And then the lesson, I'm going to take my seat. The text says that Elisha took some salt and threw it in the waters, and they were healed. Salt has medical benefits. I'm told that, you know, if you have a toothache, if you take some warm water, am I right, Brother Clemens, can you help me with this? Take some warm water and put some what? Salt in it. And then what? Gargle it. Anybody else? Yeah, okay. Gargle it. Then that can alleviate that. There's something special about salt. Salt has purifying and preservative qualities.
Amen.
What is the cure for dirty water? The cure is salt.
Yes, sir.
What is the salt in the world today? Who is the salt in the world today? I've come to declare, and I declare without fear of trepidation, that brothers and sisters, the salt for the world, this world of dirty water, is none other than the church of Christ. If you believe it, can you say amen?
Amen.
What did Jesus say? Matthew 5 and verse number 13. Come on now. Matthew 5 and verse number 13. Jesus said what? He was talking to who? His disciples. And he said, ye are what?
The salt of the earth.
Did he say, ye were the salt?
Ye are.
Ye will be the salt
of the earth. Ye are.
Ye are
the salt of the earth.
The salt of the earth. Come on, my brother.
But if the salt.
But if the salt.
Have lost its savor.
Has lost its savor.
Wherewith shall it be
wherewith
salted?
Wherewith shall it be salted? Come on.
It is thenceforth. Good for nothing.
Yes, sir.
But to be cast out
down,
and to be trodden under
the
foot of men.
What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the mission of the church today is to be salt in this cruel, corrupt, dirty world. We have the cure for dirty water. If you believe it, can you say amen?
Amen.
Think of salt as an acronym. The S stands for salvation. Is that all right?
Yes.
The Bible says in Psalm 27, in verse number 1, the Lord is my light and my what? Salvation. 2 Timothy 2, in verse 10, Paul put it this way. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is where? In Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The S can represent salvation, and salvation is in Christ. The A can represent anchor. The Bible says in Hebrews 6, verses 19 and 20, this hope we have as an anchor for the soul. Who is that anchor? That anchor is none other than Jesus Christ himself. Am I right about it? The L can represent light. Is that all right this afternoon? Psalm 119 and verse number 105, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and what? A light to my path. So the S represents salvation. The A represents anchor. The L can represent light. And the T, of course, represents truth. Is that all right this afternoon? The Bible says in John 17, 17, sanctify them through what? Thy truth, for thy word is truth. What's important about the truth? Jesus said in John 8, 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'm trying to tell you this afternoon that we have the salt that this world really needs. But let me just show you something, church. Don't you know that salt will never benefit? How many of y'all, if you don't mind my asking this, how many of you like a little salt on your food? Yeah, you know, now I know that, you know, if you're struggling with high blood pressure and things like that, you got to be careful. And I know we got some health experts in here and all that good stuff. All right, God bless you. Okay, all right. I understand that. But, woo-wee, there's nothing like having just a little salt. How many like a little salt on your French fries? Woo! On that good old hamburger. Is that all right? Man, how many of you like some good old salt on those squirrel legs? Rabbit ears. Y'all, city folk don't know about good kind of eating. I'm talking about, that alligator stew. Did you just put a little salt? Just a little salt. And I want to show you something. Yes, don't you know that we are the salt of the earth? But I want to show you something else about salt. Colossians 4 and verse 6. Colossians 4 and verse 6. I'm going to wrap this thing up. I'm almost done here. Colossians 4 in verse number 4. In verse number 6, I want you to check this out. Remember this. Remember, take this verse home with you. Take this verse home with you this afternoon. Colossians 4 in verse number 6. All right, can we flash it up on the screen? Good brothers, if you will. All right, I know Brother Jones is going to read it, but it's good to hear it and see it. Is that all right? In Colossians 4, 6, if you're there, church, almost there, let me know by saying amen. Amen. Check this out. Come on, my brother, read on.
Let your speech be always.
Wait a minute. Just on Sunday morning. Let your speech be
always.
Sometimes.
Always.
Just on Wednesday night.
Always.
Be always what?
With grace.
With grace.
Seasoned with salt.
With pepper. Is that what it says?
With salt.
Seasoned with hot sauce.
With salt.
I know y'all know hot sauce is black man's gravy. Come on now, say amen.
Amen.
Come on now. We like that hot sauce. But hey, we don't need hot sauce. We don't need people sprinkling hot sauce on folks, but seasoned with sugar.
With Tabasco. With salt.
I need another reader. Is that right? Seasoned with salt. Come on, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Come on, come on.
That you may know how.
That you may know how.
You ought to answer.
Yes, sir.
Every man.
Some men.
Every man.
Most men.
Every
salt.
Man.
Salt. Salt. What do you mean by salt, Brother Robinson? Salt is not just your salvation or anchor and all that. Salt is your speech. How you talk to people. How important is that? Think about it, church. Think about it. This is a very practical message this afternoon. Proverbs 15 and 1. The Bible talks a lot about the tongue. Proverbs 15 and 1. This is one of my favorite scriptures here. Proverbs 15. Any of you brothers ever have an argument with your wife? Any of your sisters ever have an argument with your husband? Here's a scripture right here. Here's a scripture right here. This could diffuse any kind of argument right here. Are y'all ready for this? No charge. It's worth $1 million, but no charge, all right? Proverbs 15, 1. If you're there, church, let me know by saying amen. Come on, my brother, read on.
A soft answer.
A harsh answer.
A soft
mean
answer.
Mean answer.
A soft answer.
A soft answer what?
Turneth away wrath.
Turns away what?
Wrath.
Wrath. Come on.
But grievous words.
But grievous words.
Stir up anger.
Stir up anger. Is that in your Bible? A soft answer turns away wrath. Sisters, your husband come home tomorrow mad. Hi, dear. How was your day, honey? Soft answer.
Yes, sir.
Now, if he's doing, and you start doing, do y'all hear what I'm saying,
church? Yes, sir.
I'm trying to get you to see, man. The Bible is right. A soft, it's not always what you say, but it's what? How you say. Y'all don't hear me. Proverbs 16:24. One of the books that I had published with the 21st Century Christians on Proverbs. Proverbs, one of my, it's a beautiful book. Come on. If you're there, church, let me know by saying amen. Come on, what does it say?
Pleasant words.
Pleasant words.
Are as a comb.
Are like a honeycomb. What?
Sweet to the soul.
Sweet to the soul.
And health to the bone.
And health to the bones. Your words matter, man. Sister, your words matter. Your words matter. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb. Sweet to the soul. Don't you know that when you speak pleasant words, positive words, and you build up your wife, guess who else you're building up? You're building up yourself.
Amen.
Is that all right? Amen. When you speak negative words that tear down your wife, guess what? You turn down yourself. Why? Because the two are one.
Amen.
Preach on, Brother Robs. I brought my own amens with me. All right, let's come on over. Somebody said, well, that's in the Old Testament, preacher. Well, let's come on. Ephesians 4:29. I'm aware of my time here. We're going to wrap it up. Ephesians 4:29. Ephesians 4 and verse number 29. I know these brothers out here, they got these televisions they're working with, but I'm just old school. I still like turning the, It's all right. It's all good. All right. Ephesians 4, 29. If you're there, church, almost there, let me know by saying amen.
Amen.
All right. Come on, my brother. What does the book say?
Let no corrupt communication.
Let no corrupt communication. Come on. Proceed out of your mouth. Come on.
But that which is good to the use of edifying.
In other words, that edifying means don't speak words that tear down. Speak words that what?
Build
up. Come on, my brother.
That
it may minister grace
unto the hearers.
There's an old saying, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. Church, I'm sending you home today with some homework. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have homework. Here's your homework, church. Go home today and sprinkle some salt on your marriage. Is that all right this afternoon? Go home today and sprinkle some salt on your marriage. And you know, you don't need a whole lot of salt. Just a little piece of salt. Like here from McDonald's. Just a little bitty piece of salt. Sprinkle some salt.
Yes, sir.
On your husband. Sprinkle some salt on your wife. Is that all right? Sprinkle a little salt on your children. Is that all right? All right. When you go to work tomorrow, I know you're dealing with some devil. Sprinkle a little salt. Amen. And if you're like me, you grew up in the hood. Anybody know about the hood? Oh man, even when you go to the school and when you're in the hood, you gotta learn how to sprinkle a little salt. Is that all right?
Amen.
Is that all right, brother? Sprinkle a little salt. And then don't forget to sprinkle salt on your children. Is that all right? Amen. On your grandchildren. Is that all right? Don't you know that there's something special about salt? It has healing power. The Bible says the water was bad. It was polluted. Elisha put some salt in there, and it made all the difference. Do y'all hear what I'm saying, church? Don't you know that the words you speak to people can mean the difference between life or death? In fact, the Bible teaches that, doesn't it? Proverbs 18:21, that life and death are where? In the power of the tongue. Oh, church, let's be careful about how we talk to one another. Let's speak words that build up. Sprinkle some salt on the young people in the church, on the older people in the church. There's a man who told me a story in Texas. He told me, Brother Robinson, I quit preaching one time because there were members in the church who were talking about me. And, you know, I just felt so discouraged. I quit the ministry. Isn't that something? When a man's trying to be God's preacher and he quits preaching because of what folk are saying. And somebody would say, well, he ought to have been strong enough. Well, you got to remember, we're not all at the same stage. You have those who are still on milk, those on meat, who can't take a lot of that stuff. So we got to be careful about how we talk to one another. Build up. Oh, man, let your children know that you love them, that you're proud of them. Is that all right? Build them up. Because guess what? When they go to school, I know school might be out now, but when they go back to school, what's going to happen? All the bullying that goes on, they're often what? Torn down. And if they don't get that edification, they don't get that love, unconditional love at home, and they don't get it from the church, where are they going to get it? Is that all right this afternoon? Amen. I have a sister-in-law who told me one time that, you know, she said, you know, you're a special person. She said that to me. You're a special, look me now, I said, you're a special person. I've been riding on those words ever since. Isn't that something? Even when I didn't know I was special, she saw something in me. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? That's the way we gotta be with our young people, with our children, grandchildren, our brothers and sisters in the church. You're special, man. You're special. Man, you sisters who made that chicken, I tell y'all are special. Is that all right? Amen, amen. Thank you for your attention this afternoon. The cure for dirty water. If I can have that mic there, if you don't mind, the cure for dirty water. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's in his word, and we thank him for his word, and we thank him for his church. There may be somebody here this afternoon who is not a part of the Lord's church. We want to invite you to please consider becoming a part of the only church you can read about in the Bible, the Word of God. The Bible teaches us that we respond to the plan of salvation. That is the plan, what God did on the cross through his Son, Jesus Christ. We respond to that plan by hearing his word, Romans 10:17, by believing what we've heard, Hebrews 11:6, John 8:24. We must repent of our sins, Luke 13:3-5. Confess with our mouth Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. If we're willing to do that, if you're willing to do that this afternoon, we can baptize you today. When you're baptized, all of your sins are washed away. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord adds you to his church. Acts 2:38-47. If you need to come this afternoon, perhaps someone is already a member of the church, and perhaps you are feeling kind of down. Perhaps you are going back to work tomorrow, got to face some devils. Anybody know about facing devils on your job? Maybe y'all don't have devils here in Tennessee, but I tell you, my goodness gracious, boy. Let me tell you something. I teach at two HBCUs. Two HBCUs. And boy, I tell you, sometimes it can be a challenge, a good challenge, but sometimes, as I was telling you this morning, you didn't want to call me Big Daddy. No, I ain't no Big Daddy. Ain't no Big Daddy or Little Daddy. Help me, somebody. Amen. You got to keep them straight. Amen. But I'm just trying to show you that we got to stay prayed up. Stay in all this shooting that's going on, you know, in the country. Man, don't send your children off to school without hugging them and praying with them, church, because you never know. It might be the last time. That's the kind of world we, it's a dirty world. Dirty water is everywhere, man. It's everywhere. And that's why we got to stay prayed up. If you're here this afternoon and you need prayer, perhaps for your marriage, for your wife, for your husband, your children, whatever the situation may be, we love you. We care for you. James 5:16, one of my favorite scriptures says, confess what? Your faults, not somebody else's. Confess your faults one to another and pray you one for another that you may be healed. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you know you need to come, you know you need to respond. There's a song that I like to sing. It's the old country way. Can y'all just follow me this afternoon, if you don't mind? Let us all together stand. Pass me.